So please turn in Jeremiah 29:30, where we'll pick up in our study. We finished 29 last week, but we'll do a little lead-in. Last week, Jeremiah sent a letter. Jeremiah was the prophet to the Jews that were in Jerusalem. The Ezekiel was taken captive by Babylon on the second captivity of three. There was three captivities. He was taken on the second captivity to be in Babylon, and Jeremiah writes a letter to the Babylonian captivity telling them, don't listen to the false prophets, the Jews that were taken captive, and some were saying, I'm a prophet, and I'm saying we're going back to Jerusalem really soon. He's saying, don't listen to them, they're false prophets, you're going to be there for 70 years total, and so have children, set up camp, don't be thinking you're going back to Jerusalem. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, you see Ezekiel was constantly dealing with those same false prophets. But in Jeremiah 29, we ended chapter 29 with Jeremiah saying clearly that here's the way you can know that they're false prophets, is they're going to die. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, send to all those in captivity, the Jews already in captivity in Babylon, which is Iraq today, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his family. He shall not have anyone to dwell among this people, nor shall he see the good that I will do for my people. The good was to bring the survivors back to the land of Israel after the captivity. He's not going to see that, nor his family, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. So, and then if you read the account in Kings that we finished with last week, he was killed. Nebuchadnezzar just had him burned and his family, so he died. And so Jeremiah said he's not going to be able to enjoy the blessings of the people that obey the true prophecies. And we emphasize there was false prophets back then teaching against God. There's false teachers, pastors today teaching people things contrary to the word of God. And tragically, so many people think, well, it's a pastor and they're teaching me the Bible and it's the truth, because they don't know the Bible. See, we have the Bible and we should be able to do what the Bereans did in the days of Paul. Paul goes in and he tells them about Jesus, and then they search the scriptures diligently to determine whether the things Paul had told them were true. And really, there's such a famine of the knowledge of the Word of God in the land today, which is why these false teachers of our day, false pastors, are getting away with such terrible misleading and lying to the people at a time when it's so important to know the truth. So chapter 30 is restoration of the Jews to the promised land of Israel. So Jeremiah then shifts and goes, you know, they're going to come back. The Jews are in Babylon, but like I said, 70 years later, they're going to come back. And only the first few verses deal with them coming back in 70 years. The rest of the chapter is talking about a time where the Jews come back into the land in a time where the Messiah comes to rescue them. A time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to come back, have horrible times, and then the Messiah is going to deliver them. Well, that's our time. You know, it's basically, this is a chapter that everybody before 1948, they should have been reading this chapter saying, oh, the Jews have got to come back to the nation of Israel, because Jeremiah chapter 30 says it's going to happen. So the word that came, chapter 30 verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people, Israel and Judah. Now that's really important for people that believe in the 10 lost tribes of Israel, which is a lie. My people, Israel and Judah, are going to come back, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. So turn to 2 Chronicles 15:8. I'm really going to big deal this. There's no lost tribes of Israel. And even Chuck Smith dealt with this in a sermon here recently that we're listening to. And 2 Chronicles 15:8. Because the Mormons are all based on, hey, the lost tribe, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, they came to the Americas and a whole religion was formed on a lie that anybody who had carefully read the Old Testament knows is not true. So far, Jeremiah is saying, hey, Israel and Judah, and remember that Israel had 10 tribes, Judah had the 2 tribes in the south after the Civil War, after Solomon, and so Israel got conquered, and so the 10 tribes were conquered and taken to Assyria. Judah was conquered by Babylon, is still being conquered in Jeremiah's day. It's been conquered twice in a way, and now waiting for the third time in 586 BC where they're all taken to Babylon. But what is not clear until you look at other sections of scripture is that when Israel went apostate, when their kings were so wicked, and they were leading the northern 10 tribes in the worship of the golden calf in Dan and Bethel, that there was Jews in northern 10 tribes of Israel that were like, I don't want to sit under this king. I don't want to live in this tribe. And they were going down to Judah. And so what happened is that all the God-fearing northern, you know, families out of the northern 10 tribes, what they did is they immigrated into Judah. So even though Judah was Judah, Judah was actually true Israel. Judah was believing Israel until Assyria destroys northern Israel, what's left of it. And then Judah becomes apostate. Now Judah goes wicked and they start worshiping idols. And then God brings judgment, Jeremiah's day, and Jeremiah says, now if you're God-fearing, you can't desert to, you know, another section of Israel. If you're fearing God, you go to Babylon. So Babylon was where the next group of God-fearing people that left the apostasy of the southern Judah. So everybody follow that? So what goes to Babylon is all 12 tribes. Because all the 12 tribes were in Judah, and the ones that feared God, they said, oh, you know, the northern tribes go, we went to Judah, so, because they were not apostate. And now Judah's apostate, and so we're going to listen to Jeremiah the prophet and go into Babylon. So the 12 tribes of Israel have always been together. It's just in God's eyes, and we're going to see that in Chronicles. I will bring my people, Israel and Judah, 2 Chronicles 15:8. And when Asa, king of Judah, heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. That is Judah. Judah and Benjamin were Judah. And from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, which is northern Israel, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. So he brought revival. And he was able to take some of the cities back that were in what was historically Israel. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and then this is the important part, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Does everybody see that? So people defected. They left their tribal area and said, we're going to go to where people fear God. And King Asa fears God. So turn to 2 Chronicles 30:18 to see something very similar. 2 Chronicles 30:18. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, those are all northern Israel tribes. They're part of the 10 tribes. Had not cleansed themselves yet. Yet they ate the Passover. This is Hezekiah's revival. This is King Hezekiah's revival. Ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So they didn't have time to get cleansed, to become ceremonially cleansed before Passover, but they go, we want to do Passover. And so Hezekiah says, yeah, go ahead and do it. Lord Jesus, let him, forgive him for not being ceremonially cleansed because they want to just have Passover and remember. And God says, yeah, that's good. So there you have, again, the tribes of Israel. In fact, when I was in Tur in Israel, the tour guide was talking about, and here's a wall that was an expansion during Hezekiah's time. He expanded out the wall of Jerusalem. And they said that, and we know that it was during Hezekiah's time because it's a rapidly built wall. And it was to take in all the people that came from Israel down because of the judgment that was falling upon northern Israel for their apostasy. And so Israel, all the Jews are represented. Today over in Israel, there's 12 tribes represented. They don't know who they are because they lost all the records in 70 AD. They know by genetics who the priesthood class is, and that's why they're using the genetics to try and pick out the priests that are going to be used during the building of the third temple. But they don't know who they are, but God knows who they are. So let's go back to Jeremiah 30, verse 3. So everybody talks about, oh, the 10 lost tribes, they went to Britain, and that's the British Israelism and all this other stuff. It's all a lie. It's all a complete concocted lie. Jeremiah 30, verse 3, for behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. The near fulfillment was when they came back when the Medo-Persians conquered the Babylonians. And King Cyrus made the decree for the Jews to come back. That's the near fulfillment that the people would have gone. Jeremiah says we're going back, and wow, Cyrus, Isaiah said Cyrus was going to give a decree. We're supposed to go back, and they went Zerubbabel took a whole bunch of people back to Israel to start rebuilding the temple. And so that was the near fulfillment. But then we're going to see that it shifts to where it can only be a time future to even us, or kind of in the time of our living here. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So now it's going to shift to a time that is going to summarize with the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 4, 5, and 6. Okay, so what it's prophesying is there's going to be another time they return where it's going to be a time of fear, trembling, not peace. A time where it's like whether a man is ever in labor with child. And why does it say that? Because so why do I see... Can a man have a, does a man ever have labor with a child? Not until our generation, because men can have babies, we found out. But I'm kidding. It's like, and then it goes on to say, and everybody knows I'm kidding, right? So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? Men don't give labor. Why do I see all the men around looking like they're giving labor? And the answer to me with everything that we're going to be seeing here is the men are going to realize, wow, the birth of our nation, it's almost dead. It's like we got birthed, but we're going to be annihilated. And so they're just like, ah, what's wrong? What's going to happen? And there's another place that God's word makes it clear that the birth of the nation of Israel is referred to as having been birthed by labor. And so let's go to that. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 6. This is a profound prophecy that says that the nation of Israel will be rebirthed again in one day, which happened on May 14, 1948, in fulfillment of a 2,700-year-old prophecy of Isaiah. So turn to Isaiah 66, verse 6, where God uses the analogy of having labor unto birth as pertaining to the birth of the nation of Israel. And it says in verse 6, the sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies before she, and I'm going to say modern day of Israel, our modern day of Israel, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, as soon as the Zionist return of the Jews into the land of Israel, as soon as she was in labor, bam, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring, this is God speaking, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says the Lord? And the answer is no, he didn't. So really for a Bible-believing Christian in November of 1947, when the United Nations was meeting to decide what to do with the partition of Palestine, and people were just like, whoa, are they going to vote? Is the United Nations going to vote for the partition of Palestine? A Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, prophecy-reading Christian would have said, absolutely no question, it's going to happen. Because it's going to give birth, they're going to make a decision to partition Israel. And then should anybody have been surprised when in 1948 Ben-Gurion was saying, I'm going to declare that our country, Israel, is a nation. I'm just going to declare it to the world. No, you're not. You're not going to do that or we're going to kill you. We're going to invade you with five armies. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, just completely ignored all the good reasons why he should not do that, because it was certain annihilation if he did that, as far as the military people were concerned. And he said, no, we're going to be a nation. And you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a really bad day. And they were invaded by a bunch of Arab armies and by the miraculous intervention of God. They're still around today. And they've been outnumbered so many times. And so we can understand each one of those times was men going around going like, how are we going to survive? We don't have any planes. They got five Messerschmitts. But against a whole army, a mass of people, but God preserved it. There was a theologian named Barnes who was born in 1798, a long time ago, 1870. It's kind of good sometimes to look at people from the past that were very good Bible commentators and read what they think about things. And this is what it says. Or shall a nation be born at once? Such an event never has occurred. A nation is brought into existence by degrees. Its institutions are matured gradually and usually by long process of years. But here is an event as remarkable as if a whole nation should be born at once and stand before the world, mature in its laws, its civil institutions, and in all that constitutes greatness. And so then, that's good, right? That's what he says, that's what this says. And then he goes off the rails. Then he says, in looking for the fulfillment of this, we naturally turned our attention to the rapid progress of the gospel in the times of the apostles and the events occurring suddenly, remarkably, as in the earth. As if the earth, after the desolation of winter or of a drought, should be covered with rich luxuries in a day. So what was he doing? He was doing replacement theology. He's looking for the church to fulfill promises that can only be, that are being made to Israel. See, Isaiah is made to Israel. And so he goes, well, you know, we don't have to think about Israel becoming a nation today. So what is it? It's the church taking over. So that's where he goes off the rails. But that first part, that's what it implied. How impossible is it to apply except for it happened? Going back to Jeremiah 30, verse 6. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? Why are the men distressed about what is coming? As if they're looking at drawn out labor and possible death or destruction of their nation. Alas, for that day is great. The day that is going to be a time of trial for the Jews. Alas, that for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob being Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. So are we in the time of Jacob's trouble yet? No. We're getting there, though. We're getting really close. They've been birthed as a nation. They have been surviving. The nation of Israel has relatively, until recently with this current Hamas war, they've been a thriving nation to the point where they've apostatized. Many of them have apostatized and are completely serving the woke culture of Israel and rebellion against God. In fact, it's one of the reasons that either all this has to be fulfilled very soon or Israel is not around to fulfill it. Because they were self-destructing, just in like in the time of the plague. You can't embrace homosexuality as a country and still see the graces of God come upon you. And they were becoming embracing of homosexual culture. You can't be slaughtering your babies and have the graces of God where he promises you'll be saved out of it. Because he didn't do it before. He didn't do it in Jeremiah's day, and he didn't do it in the days of Isaiah with Assyria. He wiped them out because they were embracing the killing of their children and shedding innocent blood. So because the culture was going that way, and the Supreme Court is trying to make it stay that way, and tens of thousands of people are rioting against Benjamin Netanyahu trying to rein back the Supreme Court so that they can't just legislate immorality over the whole country and take over the power of the Knesset to make law. All these things are showing a self-destruction of Israel unless something happens big. Or this stuff isn't going to be fulfilled because there isn't going to be a nation of Israel. So it really is one of the biggest reasons why we know we have to be at the very, very end. Because these promises are made to a country he's going to keep alive. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. So what is it? What is saved out of it? Well, Isaiah 17 hasn't happened yet, a war in which Damascus is destroyed and northern Israel military bases are wiped out. And the glory of Jacob, meaning the number of people of Jacob, is greatly reduced. And it's going to be like the pickings off of, the gleanings off of a field, off of trees. And Israel is admitting that they have already planned when they have to go all out with Hezbollah in Lebanon, which today Hezbollah again, Nasrallah said today, the day that Israel invades Lebanon, which they expect any moment, Israel is going to run out of all of its tanks. In other words, we have enough people in tunnels and everything that people are going to come out of, and we're going to take out all their tanks with anti-tank missiles. But Israel says they know that as soon as they come in, there's also going to be missiles raining down on their military bases in northern Israel. And what does it say? The fortresses of Ephraim, northern Israel, will be no more. So that means that they come so many missiles, it overwhelms the Iron Dome and all the other missile defense systems, and their bases are destroyed according to the Bible in Ephraim. They're destroyed. And Israel knows that's going to happen, and so they worked out a deal with Cyprus that their fighter planes that are bombing all the places the missiles are coming from, if they can't go back to base without running out of fuel, they can go to Cyprus. And that's why Nasrallah told Cyprus, we know you're planning on doing this, and so if you allow Israeli planes to land and refuel in Cyprus, then we will also send our missiles to attack you. So this is where we're living right now. And that's the kind of stuff you want to, even a man wants to kind of put his hands on his knees and just go, how are we going to survive this? And that's just one. We've got Hezbollah. We've got the United Nations wants to lock us all up and send us into jail for being war criminals. We've got Iran that's doing nuclear weapons now development without any hindrance of the International Atomic Energy Commission. And we have the whole world against us. Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, all the immediate neighbors of Israel are going to make a crafty plan to destroy Israel, to make it cease from being a nation, and God's going to burn them up. Ezekiel 38:39, a war that follows, that Israel is not able to defend itself from, the invading army of Ezekiel 38:39, and God intervenes to wipe them all out himself. And that's going to bring revival. There's not going to be a whole bunch of secular Jews at that point because they're going to realize we were all going to be completely wiped out. That was a massive army. We have no armament, I think, because the global government has started to take over already after these first wars. They disarm Israel. They disarm all of Israel's army enemies from, you know, weapons of mass destruction and everything. And so all that's left is people. And what the Ezekiel 38-39 war is a massive number of people that are coming in to wipe out the Jews. And the Jews don't have a massive number of people. So, and then God wipes out the massive number of people to where it takes 7 months for the Jews to go bury the dead, according to Ezekiel 39. And so when all that happens, the Jews are going to realize, wow, we survived that. Then the formation of the global government is coming to where the Antichrist makes a deal with the survivors of Israel. And the Israelis, as a result, are going to consider him their Messiah, according to Jesus. And it's going to get worse from there. Jacob's troubles is going to continue to go because they made that foolish decision, which we'll read about here in a minute. So it shall come to pass, this is Jeremiah 30, verse 8, it shall come to pass in that day of Jacob's trouble that the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke, foreigners, yoke from your neck, and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. Is Israel enslaved by foreigners right now like they were in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel? No. Since they've been there, they aren't under the thumb of the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. They were always under the thumb of whoever conquered them. And God is saying, I'm going to break the yoke. You're going to be on your own. And this is why even our government is so upset with Netanyahu and we want to get rid of him. Is because we're telling him what to do, as if he is under our thumb. And he goes, no, I cannot advocate the destruction of the nation of Israel. And even people in his own country, even Netanyahu's own country, thinks he's being too over the top to require that any peace agreement doesn't result in the destruction of the nation of Israel. So God is saying, I'm going to take care of you during this time of Jacob's trouble. But verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Did that happen when the Babylonian captivity was over? Okay, so this is proof. This can only be talking about a time yet future for us. So I'm going to see you through this time of Jacob's trouble. And then guess what? Jesus is coming. And he is going to be the throne of David. Serve the Lord their God and David their king. And what they mean by David their king, it's Jesus. Because Jesus is the son of David. The fulfillment of the prophecy that was made to David. Whom I will raise up for them. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Again, this cannot be applied to the return from Babylon. There was no King David. Must apply to the future regathering of the Jews, which is now, and must be in the future for even us, because Jesus isn't ready to come back. We're 7+ years before he comes back. But we have in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, we have the account of when Jesus comes back to save Jews that are in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they look on him whom they appear. So are the Jews going to be around until after the Antichrist has come and the global government and everything? They're going to be there in Israel. They are not going to be wiped out. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Jews inhabiting Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one who grieves for his firstborn. So when Jesus returns, the Jews will be seeing, our real Messiah. We were thinking the Antichrist is Messiah until 3.5 years ago when he turned on us. And now our real Messiah is coming back, and they'll see that they pierced him. They'll see he'll be coming with the thorn, with the holes in his hands, and the visible in his side. And the rest of chapter 12 through 14 is about Jesus coming and setting up his kingdom. Back to Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and King and David, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. All fulfilled. Zechariah 12 through 14. Read the whole thing. We don't have time. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord. Don't fear Jews in the last days, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. A promise to the Jews today that Hamas, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Turkey, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan are not going to annihilate them. And those are all the future wars that are listed, the people that are there. So as they sit there and they realize this is who we're up against. And they can have nukes. And, you know, and Nasrallah even said, we know you have nukes. We don't care. Because we can still get you. You know, we have so much. You can go ahead and nuke some of us and we can lose a couple million people. But we got hundreds of millions. We are going to annihilate you as the state of Israel. And he forgets, though, that Israel has one secret weapon. What's his name? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I made a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Unpunished because of why? Even though they're brought back, are they in rebellion against God? Yep, they are. I can't leave you unpunished. You guys have given me every reason to just be done. And so this is going to be a cleansing process. These wars of annihilation against you are going to be a cleansing process until you realize, wow, Isaiah 17, we should have been dead. We weren't. Psalm 83, we should have been dead. We weren't. Ezekiel 38, 39, we certainly should have been dead and we weren't. There is a God of Israel. There is a God we've got to worship. There is a God we've got to go back to. It's going to cleanse them. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 13, because I want to emphasize what it says here. Isaiah 28, 13. He says he's going to make a complete end, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. Have the Jews been scattered to America? So does that mean that there has to be a complete end of America? Has he scattered them to Russia, Czechoslovakia, France, England? They've been scattered to every nation in the world. Are all the nations of the world come to a complete end? Yes. What's going to make them come to a complete end? The global government of the Antichrist. When the Antichrist does form his 10, according to Daniel, according to Revelation, as we talked about on Sunday, there is going to be a 10-nation global empire. They will probably make it a capital offense to ever say, USA, USA. They will make it, you go to jail for saying, I'm an American. Because everybody will have to swear allegiance to the global government, which the global government people today say is necessary to provide a utopia into the future. They will all go away. America's going to go away someday. If we're living in the last of the last, it's going to be soon. So, and then, except for Israel. See, I don't make a complete end of Israel. So is Israel going to be, is it going to be consumed by the global government? It's not. It's the only nation in the Bible that makes it clear they're not. Because what are they able to do? They're able to build their temple. They're able to do sacrifices again. Global government needs global government and needs global religion. And that's why they're dumbing down all the exclusive religions in the world. It used to be that all Christians said, you got to believe in Jesus or you're going to die and go into eternity, into a place called hell. How many Christians say that today? Professing Christians say that. How many pastors teach that? Fundamentalist Islam is you have to believe in Allah and that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet, or you need to be, you're an infidel that needs to be exterminated. How many Muslims, professing Muslims, really hold to that? Not near as many. You hear about the ones that still do, but that's going to be wiped out. Global religion is going to make it clear you're in a global government, and the global religion is nobody gets to say their God's the only God. Nobody gets to say, my religion is the best religion, except the Jews. And why are they going to make an exception for the Jews? Well, Isaiah 28 says that they make an exception because Israel signs a covenant with death, with the Antichrist, and we're going to explore that. But the reason to me is, do the globalists, are they really acknowledging God and his protection over Israel? No, they really think that Israel's going to die. So when they allow the Isaiah 17 war and the coming war in the Middle East to occur, what are they going to think that Israel's going to do? They're going to be destroyed. They're going to go, okay, Israel's destroyed, no big deal. Get rid of the pesky Jews. But we also use them to get rid of a whole bunch of fundamentalist Muslims. So we got two for the price of one. We get rid of all the nation-state mindset. And so then, we got world government going, well, let's allow Ezekiel 38 to come because those pesky Jews, they didn't all die. And so we'll do Ezekiel 38, 39 with Russia's help and all these other people will come in and finish them off. Wow, that didn't work either. And so then they realized that, wow, let's make a deal with the Jews. You don't have to go with the covenant of global religion. We're going to make an exception with you. If you think of how that would happen, then this chapter makes perfect sense in Isaiah 28. And this is what it says. 28:13. But the word of the Lord was to them, to unbelieving Jews in Isaiah's day and even in our day, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Yeah, the Bible. Yeah, prophecy. Yeah, what we're supposed to do, the law of Moses. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Yeah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Christians today warning the Jews, which I have, and they blow me off. We know what you say that God has told you to say to us, but we're not going to listen. Is that the Jews today? Yep, that's the Jews today. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people, Israel, the completely corrupt Supreme Court, the mostly corrupt Knesset, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, which is the grave of dead. You know, you made a deal with the Antichrist, and you made a deal with hell. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge and under falsehood have hidden ourselves. They're going to make a deal with the Antichrist is what this is saying. The scourge that sweeps the world, nobody gets to declare that their God is the true God. To a Jew, a surviving Jew in the future, they're still going to say, wait a second. You know, we got to do whatever it takes with this Antichrist to say, make an exception for us. Look what we've been through. Look at what our God has done. You cannot say that we can't say that Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just saved us from all these annihilation wars. And we are going to build a third temple and we are going to worship God. And the Antichrist goes, okay, that's a good deal. Let's sign right here. In exchange for him being accepted as the Messiah. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 5, verse 42? Don't turn there. Yeah, this is what Jesus said. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Jesus prophesied the Jews are going to embrace the Antichrist as their Messiah. The Antichrist wants to be the Messiah. He wants to be the ruler of the world. He wants to be the kingpin. And if he lets the Jews have a little exception to his scourge, that his covenant of scourge upon the world, In exchange for me being the Messiah, we're good to go. And then, Isaiah 28:16, and this is so applicable. You know, you guys in the future are going to make this Antichrist your Messiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. What's that talking about? Jesus. You get here's the deal you're going to make, because you precept upon precept and you reject that, and you're going to make a deal with the Antichrist, with hell, the Antichrist in hell. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a real Messiah, and he's going to come and tell you, you're rejecting me, the one that, behold, I lay in Zion. You're going to reject me and accept somebody else, and now you're accepting it. So then he goes to verse 18. Verse 18, your covenant with death will be annulled. When's that going to happen? 3.5 years into the 7-year covenant of death, according to Daniel chapter 9, according to Matthew chapter 24, 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to annul the covenant with death. He's going to say, you know what? I changed my mind. I hate you Jews. I'm going to kill you all. And your agreement with Sheol will not stand when the overflowing scourge passes through. And what's going to change? Instead of saying nobody can say that their religion is the only way, the global religion of the Antichrist, what's it going to change to? There is no God but the Antichrist. And you have to bow and worship him. And so everything's going to change. The scourge, you thought you were going to avoid the scourge, but it's coming. Passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror, just to understand the report that every day for 3.5 years the Antichrist is hunting down everybody who fails to worship him as God. And the Jews are done worshiping in their temple 3.5 years. You know, people tell me, Kevin, why are you excited about the temple? It's a temple of the Antichrist. No, it's not, because the day that the Antichrist stops the sacrifice, it's over with. There's a big earthquake that probably takes out the earthquake that 7,000 people die in Jerusalem, according to the book of Revelation. And the Antichrist goes in there to defile it, to call himself to be God. Earthquake happens. The Jews that believe Jesus scatter. At that moment, God says, Jesus told them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, chapter 9 and 12, then get out of Jerusalem immediately. And if you don't leave, then you're going to die. And so that's Daniel chapter 9, which I was going to get into, but we're running late. In fact, let's go to 9:27, and then Matthew 24, and we're going to stop there because we're not going to finish the chapter, obviously. Daniel 9:26. 9:26, this is where Daniel talks about the covenant with death. 9:26, most incredible prophecy of future events, you know, in the Bible, really. It prophesied the first and second coming of Messiah. So verse 26 is after the 62 weeks, which is actually the 69 weeks, which is 483 years, Messiah, Jesus, shall be cut off, killed, which he was, but not for himself, because he died for our sins, not himself, and the people of the prince who is to come. So think about the prince who is to come is a he. You know, in the next verse, he's the he. The... Excuse me, sorry about that. And the people, who were the people that destroyed the sanctuary? The Romans, right? So the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. So then there is going to be a prince who comes out of the Roman people, the Western people. The Antichrist is going to be out of the West. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. So the Jews were scattered, all kinds of wars and destruction against the Jews. Then he is the prince who is to come, that comes out of the Roman world, because the Romans are the one that's destroyed the city and the sanctuary 2,000 years earlier. So verse 27 is 2,000 years after verse 26. Then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant, the covenant of death of Isaiah 28, with many, global religion, for 1 week, 7 years, that has an exclusion for Israel. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, annul the covenant of death, is the way it's pronounced in Isaiah 28. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And then let's finish up with Matthew 24:15. There's going to be destruction when the Antichrist turns against the Jews. We are doing a bunch of jumping around, but it really is a phenomenal prophecy in Jeremiah 30, which we'll finish next week, but we're going to end tonight with this. Jesus talked about the sign of the last days. His disciples said, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of the coming? And in Matthew 24:15, it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet that we just read, when he and standing in the holy place, and Paul the apostle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 clarifies it that he's going to go into the holy of holies in the rebuilt temple that's not built yet and declare himself to be God. When he goes into the holy place, holy of holies, and does an abomination of desolation by declaring himself to be God instead of the true God. And then Jesus is saying, whoever reads, when you read this, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So this is the Jews return living in Israel. At the time the Antichrist does it, which is 3.5 years before Jesus returns. Do the Jews survive the coming wars? Have to, or the Bible's not true? Have to. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Now, why on the Sabbath? What does that mean? The Jews are in total Sabbath observance. Are they today? Yeah, in the super Orthodox places like Jerusalem, you can't do anything in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. But the rest of the country, they don't care. And so there's going to be such revival. They're going to feel like we're back in the days of Moses. We got our Messiah, let us build our temple and gave us defensible borders. And it's going to take care of us as a global government. And we've had animal sacrifices. We're back to the priesthood. We've got everything. We're kosher and we are observing Sabbath. And so you better hope that this doesn't happen on the Sabbath, because you're going to think, well, Jesus, that Jewish prophet that we've rejected for 2,000 years, told us that this was going to happen, and it did happen, and we should be leaving, and so, but it's the Sabbath, so I'm not supposed to go anywhere, and so you better pray it's not the Sabbath, meaning you don't even have one day. If you say, it's a Sabbath and I can't run, you're going to die. For then there will be great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Jesus tells us there's a time of trouble coming that the world has never seen. Has the world seen a lot of trouble? We've seen incredible trouble. And to the point that if he didn't shorten the days, there'd be nobody left to come back and rescue. The kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be ruled by a demon-possessed, Satan-possessed Antichrist man. And Satan is wanting, for all of his fallen years, wanted to annihilate people who God created in his image. And because God loves us, Satan hates us. And he's all but going to destroy the entire world. just like he did through the Nephilim deceptions in the days leading up to the judgment of Noah, where only 8 people survived. And so that's what this war stuff is all about. These demoniacs of the Arab world and different nations around the world that see the destruction of the Jewish nation and the Jewish people, that's coming from Satan. To make all of this, you know, these Bible prophecies and everything, if we make this not happen, then everybody will know the Bible's a lie, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can't keep his promises. So Satan is so deluded, he just keeps on trying to deceive people away from the reality of the promises that God has made to Israel. And this chapter 30 of Jeremiah is just a huge, huge chapter that we'll finish next week. So, any questions? And there, people look at it that way too, that we're getting close to the end of the 6,000th year, where the 7,000th will be the millennial reign. So, yeah, and from creation. It's hard to tell that that's exactly when we were created, but we're at the end. These wars, these things are about to happen. There's no turning back from, and there's all the other stuff that are lining up as well, which is why the time is urgent. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time that we can, study your word, and pray that you would just help us to, not look at these things as just line upon line, precept upon precept, but the amazing prophetic utterances of our God and King and Savior, the Lord Jesus, who told us these things before they'd happen so we'd know that we believe the truth. And we pray for your Jewish people, especially the ones that are opening their eyes or have opened their eyes, the many believing, Jesus-believing Jews that are in Israel today and are reporting on the things happening in their country, and reporting with the joy of knowing Jesus, knowing you, Lord. And we just pray that you would just help them all to be a witness to their people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God.
You are the rock I will run to. You are the hope I will cling to. You are the rock I will run to. You are the hope I will cling to.
That song is saying is when all hope and useless things is gone. Because how long do we have to wait for hope in anything useless to go away before we cling to Him, before we run to Him. We should be running to Him all the time. You know, a lot of people put a lot of hope in a lot of things that are dying hopes. Peter says we believe in a living hope. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care till we can fellowship again.